Florence County in Wisconsin is the state's first county to declare itself a Second Amendment sanctuary. At a hearing last week, the vote was unanimous after hearing overwhelming public support for the measure. Florence County is in far northeastern Wisconsin on the Michigan border. Edwin Kelly is the vice chair of the Florence County Board and represents District 8. We spoke with him earlier today about the move and asked how it came about.
It came really from the public finalized, but in the beginning where it came is that people, at least I know I have been, a little bit always wondering about that red glove thing or whatever it is that the governor wants to propose. That could sit there and have the wrong people could get a hold of it, and that wouldn't be very good for anybody that happened to has a weapon or anything in their homes for protection or hunting or otherwise.
And what did you hear from members of the public when you had a hearing about this in front of the county board?
They're the ones that really brought it up. You see, there, I'm on the county board, as you know,
right.
And I also am on the legislative committee. And I hold that for things that anything that may pertain to Wisconsin or Florence County, probably in particular, come before us that are being negotiated down in Madison or Washington, we sit there and discuss at that meeting. And that's a group of people showed up there at our last legislative meeting before the county board, and they come in and they had this resolution broke up, wrote out. I don't know if you've seen the resolution or not. But anyway, we looked at it, and we as a committee, and I recommend to them, let's bring it to the county board. A couple of them saying, ooh, be careful, this is going to stir a mess up all over the country. Well, not the country, but the state, they figured. Now I hear that it has went as far as the country. Nope, I says, we bring it up. And I brought it up, and I had them put it on the agenda. And went to unanimously there, and we had a full courtroom in where we hold our meetings. I said, oh, I was thinking to myself, now what? Nope, they were all for it. The whole bunch, they're all there speaking out for it. No one on the opposite side.
Does this change anything as far as what police officers or with the county sheriff's department, I should say, do right now? Or is this kind of symbolic at this point?
Right now, the sheriff has no problems with anything. He spoke up at the meeting there in favor of what we were proposing. That's all I know. I can't go any further in what he might say.
Gotcha.
And I'm on the legislative committee.
And for the governor and state lawmakers, what do you hope they take out of this decision to pass this in Florence County?
I hope they sit there and keep it in mind when they sit there and go over and start seeing what they have to come up with that red glove thing, which could be a disaster. Maybe not now. It might sound good. What's it going to lead to? Is it going to lead to, as some states or some people in the country have been trying to do, is opening the Constitution and looking at the Second Amendment? Is this going to have an effect that way, a push toward it, depending on whoever gets elected in Washington? I am very nervous about it. With me, it probably wouldn't make any difference. Down the road, it could. And what it's going to be there, and they figure that they're going to sit there and be able to stop and get the weapons all picked up from the people that shouldn't have it. You may be able to do something with maybe that's with people that are mentally needed, but their rules and regulations are there already. But for the criminal element, you think you're going to do anything on it? They're not going to get none of their guns. And they say, well, maybe we got Australia and in England. Look at them. You can't even use them to compare. Because you compare those countries, and then you compare it to the United States. No resemblance.
That was Edwin Kelly, vice chair of the Florence County Board. With this recent move by Florence County, we wanted to take a look at the concept of Second Amendment sanctuaries, how common they are, what usually inspires their creation, and what, if anything, they mean in a legal sense. Adam Winkler is professor of law at the UCLA School of Law. He's the author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, good to have you back on Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
We have this Second Amendment Sanctuary Declaration in Florence County, Wisconsin. Is this something that's happening elsewhere around the country?
It is. It's happening all over the country. There's been both states, about four or five states, and a number of cities, maybe a couple score cities across the country and counties that have passed Second Amendment sanctuary laws or resolutions.
What is motivating local and, in some cases, as you say, state governments to do this?
Well, this is being driven largely by the reinvigoration of the gun control movement in America. You know, up until the Newtown shooting, the gun control movement was really moribund. And that incident, while it hasn't triggered any new federal laws being passed, it has led to a reinvigorated gun safety reform movement. And this is in part a response by those who don't want to see any more gun control laws passed. And it's a symbolic effort, mostly, with very little impact on the ground.
Right. These are sanctuary declarations. Do they have any legal standing? Do they actually change how laws are enforced?
Well, they have legal standing, but they don't make a big difference on the ground. The idea of a sanctuary comes out of the immigration context, where some cities like Los Angeles and San Francisco have declared themselves sanctuary cities that won't enforce federal immigration laws. The Supreme Court has said that that state officers do not have to follow federal mandates, that if the federal government wants to enforce its laws, it can send out its own FBI agents or whatnot to enforce those laws, but you can't conscript state law enforcement officers against their will. And so this is transferred over to the Second Amendment context, where local law enforcement officers are saying, we won't enforce gun laws that we don't support, that we think violate the Second Amendment.
Has this in any case led to non-enforcement of already existing federal gun laws, I guess federal background checks, for example?
Well, you know, we haven't seen that on the ground yet, but that is one of the big threats. One of the laws that some states have objected to are federal background checks. For instance, in Wyoming, they passed what they called the Firearms Freedom Act, and it said that the state government will not participate in conducting federal background checks. Of course, most gun dealers are federally licensed dealers. They have a license from the federal government entitling them to deal firearms. And so those dealers still are conducting background checks, because whatever the state law enforcement says they want to do, those dealers have to listen to the federal government. They have a federal license.
Let's talk about some of the laws that the people up in Florence County, including Edwin Kelly, who we heard from, were concerned about. He mentioned, referred to what's called the red flag law that would allow, in certain specific circumstances, a request to be made to a judge to have firearms confiscated for someone who is perceived as being at risk of committing some acts of violence. There's been some polling support for this. Some states have passed this. Is this something that's been controversial, though, as it's been introduced around the country?
Yeah, these red flag laws have been somewhat controversial, although less controversial than many other kinds of gun reforms. What makes them controversial is that these laws entitle a family member, for instance, or a law enforcement officer to go to a judge and say, hey, look, we've had some interaction with this person. We think this person has firearms and is dangerous right now, immediately, because of some condition or some situation, and we'd like to temporarily take those guns away. And then after a month, those guns have to be returned unless there's a full hearing where the defendant participates and says, well, here's my evidence and whatnot. In general, so what makes them controversial is the idea that you can take someone's guns away, even on a temporary basis. But surprisingly, they really aren't the motivation for most of these sanctuary city laws. It did seem like the councilman did seem to suggest that that was what was motivating him, although I could have sworn he said that these were called red glove laws, but I haven't heard of that before.
I think he's referring to the red flag laws from his description.
I think so. Right. But interestingly enough, red flag laws are an area where there's been growing and emerging bipartisan consensus. And in fact, Lindsey Graham has proposed a federal law that would provide financing for states to enact and enforce red flag laws. So it's surprising that this would be the source of these sanctuary provisions.
Right. We had a very brief special session of the legislature called by Governor Evers here in the state, proposing two pieces of legislation, a red flag law and then expanding background checks to include most, but not all, private transfers of firearms, private sales in particular. Those were the two things that happened here in Wisconsin, proposed and then quickly rejected by the legislature. Are there other types of laws that have been more likely to provoke these kind of Second Amendment sanctuary statements?
Well, we've seen it in rejecting pushback on universal background checks. There's been some discussion that with some Democratic presidential candidates talking about mandatory gun buyback programs for military-style assault rifles, that maybe one of these laws would be appropriate to stop those laws from going into effect. But the truth of the matter is these laws are not being driven by brand-new gun control laws being enacted by and large, because by and large, we're not getting a lot of new gun control laws enacted in these states where these laws are taking place. I think it's really about the politics of symbolism, that this is a way for lawmakers to take a stand in favor of the Second Amendment when, truth be told, they've already loosened up the gun laws about as much as they can be loosened.
We're talking about the growing number of Second Amendment sanctuary communities, including Florence County here in Wisconsin. Adam Winkler is with us. He's a professor of law at the UCLA School of Law and the author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, wanted to talk to you about some of the politics behind this. You mentioned that the gun control movement was mostly defunct for a long time, not a very politically powerful or active movement. What do you see happening now in 2019?
Well, I think what we see in 2019 is a very invigorated gun control movement. The NRA is struggling a little bit with some internal dynamics and some internal organizational problems they've been having. And we've seen just a tremendous amount of money coming into the gun control movement to finance candidates and to support candidates. It's really telling that the presidential candidates for the Democratic nomination have all come out in favor of very strong and aggressive gun safety reform proposals. In contrast to, say, 2008, when President Obama ran for president and really didn't have any significant gun proposals that he ran on.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Hank is with us in Price County. Hank, hi.
Hi, yeah, good afternoon. This is a great topic, really timely. I'm troubled by the fact that Florence County supervisors or committee members couldn't even get the name of the law correct. I go along with your other guest, the professor, that talks about this being politicized and not people not understanding what this law is meant to do. Nobody's taking your guns. This is a public safety issue. If there's anything that county boards need to be involved in, it's public safety. And this flies in the face of public safety.
Hank, thanks a lot for the call. Hank saying, you know, it's more the perception from critics of these laws than the reality of some of the gun control changes. What do you think, Adam?
No, I think that's right. I mean, I was struck by the fact that the commissioner didn't seem to know the name of the law either. He got it wrong several times, and when asked to describe what it did, he didn't seem to really have a great sense of what it did. And I think that's not surprising in one sense. It's not surprising in the sense that I think that when it comes to issues of the Second Amendment, people are really driven by that symbolism and by the idea that, hey, I'm protecting my Second Amendment rights no matter what. Even if what we're really talking about is a red flag law that's only going to very temporarily take guns away from people that a judge has determined is a danger and shouldn't have access to those firearms.
Thanks a lot for the call, Hank. Is part of this that at least some people define in part their identity in relation to the Second Amendment and firearms?
Yeah, I do think there is something about that. I mean, I think that people, you know, really do. The Second Amendment has become very, very meaningful. It's very tied up with people's identity. Even though, you know, gun safety reform advocates have been proposing ever more aggressive gun control laws, and some of which may indeed violate the Second Amendment, such as a mandatory buyback program, by and large, the kinds of laws that we're talking about are laws that are consistently upheld by the courts. No court has struck down a red flag law for saying it violates violates the Second Amendment. No court has or will strike down universal background checks as being unconstitutional. So when they say these are Second Amendment sanctuary laws, they're sanctuary laws for a vision of the Second Amendment that really has nothing to do with how the Second Amendment has been interpreted by the courts of law in this country.
Hank, thanks for the call. We're talking to Adam Winkler, author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America, looking at sanctuary communities, Second Amendment sanctuary communities from local governments around the country, including now Florence County here in Wisconsin. Back to your calls now. Andrew is with us in Madison. Andrew, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question for the expert here. With rules pertaining to, I know, gun control, instead of maybe going after necessarily the assault rifle bans and things like that, has there ever been anything put in place as to minimizing the accessibility to things like high caliber magazines, like 30 caliber magazines and things like that? Or I know that some states have silencers and things like that that are illegal. I guess that's kind of where my question is, where instead of going directly for the right to bear arms, kind of goes directly at what the capacity or the damage that, you know, may an assault rifle could do.
Andrew, thanks for the call. So, Adam, regulating particular types of ammunition or high-capacity magazines that can allow someone to fire a lot without reloading.
Well, I think this has actually been a big push in the gun safety reform movement in states that are sort of more open-minded to gun control than other states. So we've seen in places like California outlawing certain caliber of bullets that are thought to be very highly dangerous and very unusually destructive. We've seen California, for instance, ban high-capacity magazines. You're not allowed to possess a large-capacity magazine in the state of California. These laws are part of the new sort of push in the gun control movement, but they're often very, very difficult to enforce. California bans high-capacity magazines, but there's millions of them in the state of California, and there's no evidence that anyone's really turned them in. So sometimes when you regulate some of these things like high-capacity magazines, you're also engaging in a kind of symbolic politics, putting a law on the books that makes it illegal but doesn't actually change the law on the ground.
Andrew, thanks for the call. Mike joins us now in Ladysmith. Mike, hi.
Hi. I'm a gun rights advocate. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe, I have a black rifle that's cosmetically dangerous, I guess. But what I don't get about this, this idea of a firearm sanctuary, is what are they envisioning are going to happen? Is that as soon as somebody is adjudicated to be, crazy or depressive or whatever the category might be, such that they're going to be dangerous with a weapon, Florence County wants to have those people move to Florence County and be protected in that fashion? I mean, what's the end game here? I don't get it, because I, quite frankly, if I find out that there's a bunch of people that are crazy or they are convicted felons and are planning crimes or whatever the case may be, if I was living in Florence County, do I want to have those people move into my county just so that they can stand protected in some fashion?
Mike, thanks for the call. Adam?
Well, I can't speak for the commissioners, but I guess what they might say is that, well, the problem is with these red flag laws, for instance, is that they might be enforced against someone who isn't really a danger, who isn't really someone who has been adjudicated to be mentally ill or a felony conviction, and thus it's subject to abuse. And I think that's a reasonable claim, that these laws can be subject to abuse. They have safeguards built within them to satisfy the demands of the Constitution for due process of law. It has to be, you can't just take someone's guns away. A neutral third party has to determine that the person is dangerous under the terms of the statute. But nonetheless, I think any time you take someone's rights away in America, it's going to be a little controversial.
Adam, thanks a lot for joining us today. The conversation continues.
Thanks again, Rob, for having me.
Adam Winkler is a professor of law at the UCLA School of Law. He's the author of Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. He joins to talk about the concept of Second Amendment sanctuaries. Also heard from Edwin Kelly from the Florence County Board a little earlier in the conversation.